Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Study of God podcast. This is episode number 34. I am your host, Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to give you a basic understanding of God, the Bible, and Christian beliefs. J. Dwight Pentecost said, "There is no higher activity in which the mind may be engaged than the pursuit of the knowledge of God." And let's start out reading the Word of God itself, as we should, for it is the most important book in the history of the world. Today's passage of Scripture is Luke 16:16, which reads, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Today's words from a theologian are from Michael Horton. He said, "Once we truly grasp the message of the New Testament, it is impossible to read the Old Testament again without seeing Christ on every page, in every story, foreshadowed or anticipated in every event and narrative." Our first topic for today is titled, "Did God Really Make Everything?" Part 1 from the book Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day by Dr. Daryl Aaron. And of course, I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, if you benefit from it, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, Understanding Theology in 15 Minutes a Day. It is available on our website for just $25. Dr. Daryl Aaron continues, "God created everything. This fact utterly permeates Scripture, that the biblical writers brought it up over and over again establishes its importance and the implications for one's worldview are enormous, as we will see. What does the Bible teach about God's work of creation? The main account is in Genesis 1 and 2, and though opinions differ regarding proper interpretation of some details, it is not an easy text to understand in detail. Some aspects are crystal clear. The power of God in creation. For one, God demonstrated his mind-boggling power to speak everything into being. God said, "Let there be." Speaking is an expression of thought, or in this case, will. God could have simply thought everything into existence. Only God is eternal. Everything else came about through his will. This includes both the material and spiritual realms. The theological term from Latin for such creation is ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. God did not use already existing raw matter as we do. He brought the material into being and he formed it. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next podcast. Our second topic for today is titled Theology of the Synoptics, Part 1 from the Moody Handbook of Theology by Dr. Paul Innes. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, if you appreciate this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Moody Book of Theology. It is available on our website for just $50. In developing the theology of the Synoptic Gospels, it is important to understand the viewpoint of the writer. To whom did Matthew, Mark, and Luke write? Why did they write? What is the particular emphasis of each writer? What themes do they stress? These are important questions in biblical theology that determine what theological emphasis and concerns were developed by the individual writers. The nature of biblical theology rests particularly with the concerns of the human writer without neglecting or ignoring the fact of divine inspiration. Introductory matters of authorship, date, audience, and purpose are included to establish the particular emphasis of the individual writers. The term synoptic comes from the Greek word synopticus, to see things together, and characterizes the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are studied together because their view of the life of Christ is considered sufficiently similar. The synoptic problem. A problem in studying the synoptic Gospels is the relationship of the three to one another. Did the Gospels make any use of one another's writings? Did they have a common source called Q for the German word Quelle, meaning source, that they all drew on? There is considerable agreement among the three Gospels, particularly with reference to Mark. B.E. Westcott has noted the percentages of differences and similarities in the Gospels. 93% of Mark is found in the other three Gospels. In other words, there is little that is unique to Mark. Excluding the questionable ending of Mark 16:9-20, there are about 30 verses that are unique to Mark. There are both agreements and dissimilarities. There are agreements among the three Gospels in the way they record their events. They also reveal a common use of rare words, but they also record dissimilarities. For example, the birth narratives and the genealogies are different in Matthew and Luke. Even parallel accounts are different, such as the order of the temptations. Ladies and gentlemen, in our next episode, we will continue looking at the theology of the Synoptic Gospels. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to learn everything you want us to learn about your holy word and about theology, and help us to not only learn it but to use it, to apply it, to get the word of your holy word out there, your holy gospel out there to the people who need it most, particularly those who don't know your Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, before we close, I want to remind you that while it is important to engage in the study of God, it is far more important that you have a relationship with God. I fear that there are many people who will die knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God. You don't want to be in that number. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to get to know him today, here's how. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law at some point in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Jesus Christ. If he is not your Savior, that's where you're headed, according to the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states very clearly in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, I know, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, because if you are still living in this world, God loves you. So for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in him, trusts in him, has faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in a place called hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you until we meet again.